Amen. Let everybody say amen. Amen. God has been not only good, God has been wonderful to all of us. Because He allowed us to be here once again. And I know that this morning there are some who wish that they had this opportunity to be here, but because of illness, health, or job requirements, they can't be with us this morning. But we're just so thankful to the Lord that we are able to be here this morning. And before I get going, let me just throw a few words out. I want to thank everybody for showing up, that did show up, for showing up at the picnic yesterday. And Brother Miles called everybody's name out except his own yesterday. Without Brother Miles, where would the picnic be? Brother Miles does a fantastic job of coordinating and putting together this picnic. And I personally want to thank him. But also, there are a couple of ladies in the audience. And I'm not going to call their names, but I just want to tell them thank you. Thank you because you were so kind yesterday on behalf of me and Sister Carter. And you know who you are. So I'm not going to call the names because I don't want to embarrass anyone. But thank you anyway. And thank you to the cooks, those men and ladies who prepared dishes for us. It was so wonderful to have you prepare that meal for all of us that decided that it was time to sit down and eat, and many of us forgot to say thank you to the people. So I'm saying thank you this morning to them. And something else, I want to thank God for all of those who have been traveling over the last month or so, who have been on vacation, you've been out of town, and you've made it there to your destination safe, and you've also returned safe. So we want to thank God for all of those who have traveled. You know, traveling is a tough situation these days. You have to fight to get into an airplane, and sometimes the airplane won't even take off, so you fight to get back out of the airplane. And if you're driving, you're fighting high gas prices. But nevertheless, you have made your trips, and we're glad to have you back. And to those who are still traveling, we'll still be praying for them. And let us continue also to pray for each and every one of us. Let us pray one for another. You pray for me, and I'll pray for you. And you know what I always say, even if you don't pray for me, I'm going to still pray for you anyhow. So continue to pray one for another. Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O righteous and precious Father, it is another day that you have given us. It is another morning that we have been blessed to rise to the occasion of daylight. We have been blessed to rise to the occasion of your gently shaking us, waking us, and allowing us to get up. You gave us the ability to clothe ourselves. Not only did you clothe us in our right mind, but you gave us the ability to dress ourselves also. We pray and thank you, Father, for those who thought it just the right thing to do, O Lord, to come out to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We know that worshiping You is the right thing to do upon Your day, O Lord, and we thank You for those members who are here, and if we happen to have any visitors in the audience, we also thank You that they may have a pleasant experience with us today. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for the church here on Stony Island. We thank You for the elders who lead this congregation, and we pray that You would strengthen them and their families, that they may be the leaders that You expect them to be, and that they may do that which is expected of them to do, O Lord. And we thank You, O Heavenly Father, and we thank You for all of those who have taken part in the services thus far. And we ask You, Father, to continue to bless those brothers and their families as well. We thank You, Father, for we know there are some that may be sick, and we're just praying, O Lord, that if it be Your will, that You would give them strength and a reasonable portion of their health back, that they may once again come out to be with us. We're praying for those who may be at home sick or those that may be in the hospital sick. We thank You for them just the same, O Lord. And we just pray for our sisters and brothers who, O Heavenly Father, who have moved from this locale and have placed themselves in another location. We thank You for them as well. We pray and ask You, Father, to continue to bless the parents who are bringing up their children. And we pray and thank You, O Heavenly Father, that You saw it wise enough to send Your Son down to this earth to hang, to bleed, and to die, that we might have the right to the tree of life. We thank you this morning, O Lord, for all of those who are sitting in the audience this morning. We thank you that there may still be some on their way. We just pray, O Lord, and ask you that if it be your will, you would grant them safe passage. And Father, if there still may be some who are traveling, we're praying once again for them as well. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that your church has an open door policy. All we have to do is come in and come to you, O Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for everything, and we're praying and asking you to be with those who lead this world in which we live. Give them strength and courage to do that which is right. Give us all, as Christians, the strength and the willpower to do your will, O Lord. Not our will, but whatever your will is. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you for everything, and thank you, O Heavenly Father, that one day soon, and we do not know when, but we know that you will call our names. And when our names are called, we must answer that call. We're just asking you, Father, to give us the strength to do the right thing before our name is called. Before it is time to answer the roll, please, O Heavenly Father, be with us. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all that you do for us. And it is in the name of your Son, Jesus, the one who marched up Calvary's hill to hang on Calvary's cross, we ask it all. Let us all say, amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from Matthew chapter 11, the 25th verse, starting at the 25th verse and going through verse number 30. We want to talk this morning about an invitation from Jesus. During the course of one's life, he or she may receive many invitations. Some of them will be good, some of them will be not so good. In receiving these invitations, they usually spell out what is happening, why it's happening, and where it's happening at. Examples are weddings, baby showers, even housewarmings. Throughout life, no invitation will ever be as precious as the one found in today's text. For you might even say it's the invitation of a lifetime. So I want you to examine with us this invitation as we look at it a bit closer, and we shall find some comfort in knowing the details of this everlasting invitation. No one has the power to issue an invitation like this except Jesus Christ. So this morning, if you will, study with us for a few moments an invitation from Jesus. So let us find out, first of all, the invitation was extended. A few weeks ago, an annual invitation was extended for us, the church, to come together for our annual picnic. Nevertheless, that invitation was accepted by some and rejected by others. Each and every one of us have the opportunity to make our own decision. But in every invitation, there's a hook. I call it a hook or a key that you might find that'll explain everything. The hook and the key on our invitation for a picnic was this: food, fun, and fellowship. And when you look at this and you think about it, there's nothing better than sitting with your brothers and sisters and being able to fellowship one with another. And to top that off, you have food and fun. And most of us like food. I know that. It's a proven fact that we need food, but a lot of us, and that's most of us, like food. So when these invitations that we get in life come our way, sometimes we have to make that decision of what we're going to do about it. But we find Jesus in the 28th chapter of the book of the 28th verse of the book of chapter number 11 in Matthew. We find Jesus in extending an invitation. He says, "Come unto me." For some invitations indeed are a sought out item. Others have a busy and active schedule, and it's just unthinkable for them to accept all of the invitations that they get. But it simply becomes for one to choose or to deny acceptance of an invitation. It simply becomes something for one to make a decision about. But with this invitation before us today, we would be hard-pressed to push it to the side. We would be hard-pressed to forget about it. We would be hard-pressed to say, I'm just totally ignoring this invitation. For this invitation holds within it those few words, "Come unto me." The chance to live. Parties, picnics, and weddings and the like will have a time established, a time to begin and a time to end. I believe our picnic was from 10 to 5:30 or something to that effect. But Jesus is saying, come unto me. Come unto me. He's reaching out to everyone. Come unto me. But this invitation that Jesus is offering to us can offer us everlasting life. An invitation usually gives a kind of insight into the thoughts of the person offering it. And many will read into it what they will. Some may find that they are being invited simply because the other party expects a gift. Some may find that the only reason they get an invitation is because it's family tradition. We've been knowing that party for 40 years, so we've got to invite them. Some will find the only reason that they get an invitation is because somebody wants to make sure that they cover all of their bases. But when you look at the text in chapter number 11 and verse number 28 of Matthew, the Bible says, come unto me, but then all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This invitation is an unselfish invitation. It's because of the unselfish love of the inviter that the inviter has unselfish and undying love for the invitee. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15, the Bible says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ came into the world to save sinners. Did he not, church? He came to save us. And he's extending this invitation. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the verses number 11, the Bible says, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. What an invitation God has extended to all of us. Unfortunately, there will be still those who decline the invitation. And some of you may know well some of those who decline this invitation because you may have been trying for years to get someone in your household to move on the invitation. But it just doesn't seem to work. So then the next part of this, you ask yourself, who was invited? Who was invited? When you get an invitation, there's usually a general sense of who's invited. For example, most baby showers are geared toward women. Oh, men be in attendance sometimes, but usually they're in attendance because they had to bring their wives and they just didn't want to leave. But usually they're geared toward women. The assumption would be it is for the people who like the same or who have something in common, if you will. For instance, if I invited you to a championship party, and let's say the championship is on a boxing match, that probably would not appeal to most women, but it would probably appeal to more men than women. So if I invited you to, gave you an invitation for a championship fight party, you would assume that there must be something to do with the match that's coming up next week. And you probably expect that I'm asking you to bring something to this party. Well, I got some news for you. Look at verse number 28 once again. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is not asking us to bring anything with us except our tired, weak, and frail, and sinful bodies. Come to him. That's all he's saying. This invitation is different. For he invites all who are heavy laden. He invites those who are heavy laden who are in the labor force of working for the Lord, as well as those who are heavy laden or who are not heavy laden in the work of the Lord. He's still inviting them to come too. But the main point is that you must understand that Jesus is saying, come unto me, all that are heavy laden. Sometimes burdens get us so wrapped up. They get us so tied up that we can't see a way out. But Jesus says, come to me. He is the way out, for he is a burden lifter. And then when you look at the matter where he says, come to me, I must present right now that disclaimer, as you always hear of disclaimers. If your labors are that of sin, there are warnings to you. There is a warning to you in John chapter 6 and verse number 27. The Bible says, labor not for the meat which perish, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. So you must labor for the Lord and not for the world, in other words. To those who labor in the arena of sin, I have some news for you as well. I have some news to tell you that payday is coming soon. And when payday comes, and you will receive your wages, and the wages according to Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Did you notice what he said? Remember I told you just a little while ago that when you go to when you accept an invitation, sometimes it's for the purpose of receiving a gift. But look at what Jesus, or what the Bible tells us, that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. By now, the picture ought to be coming just a little bit clearer to everybody. The picture ought to be coming quite clear, as a matter of fact. Labor for the Lord and receive eternal life. If not, labor for Satan and seal yourself a spot in the everlasting fires of hell. So then one may ask the question, well, what does he mean when he says in verse number 28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Somebody might say, well, I got a hard job and I've been laboring real hard. And so what kind of rest is he going to give me? Well, it doesn't mean that he's going to give you some time off from that old back-breaking job that you labor on. That's not what he's talking about. No, and he may not offer you enough money that you can retire either and quit the old job. But the rest he is speaking of is an inner peace, peace within your heart. He offers rest for the weary soul. And if your soul is sometimes weary like most folk are, you need a rest for your soul. He will give you rest from the fight of sin. Rest spoken of in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. That rest starts with grace and shall one day be completed within glory. Just how deep is this rest? Well, just watch John chapter 14 and verse number 27, where Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Only Jesus can offer heavenly peace. Just what can the peace of God do? Well, I remember reading over in Mark chapter 4, around about verse number 39. Jesus got up, he rebuked the blowing wind, spoke to a stormy sea, saying simply, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there came a great calm. Church, my God is able to give rest and peace to your burden. Somebody said, well, I got so many burdens. Preacher, I don't know if he can give me rest. Well, if he can stop and quell a stormy sea and the wind from blowing, why can't he lift your burden? I don't know of a burden that he can't lift. Then there are those who think that sometimes my burdens are so much, they're so hard to bear, I just don't know how I'm going to stand up under the pressure of all of these burdens. Well, Jesus said once again, he said, come unto me, all ye that are that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So the invitation has been issued. So somebody may be saying, well, who authorized Jesus, or who authorized this invitation? Well, when we get an invitation, we usually look at it, and the first thing we want to know is, who sent this invitation to me? Then the next thing we want to know is, why did they send this invitation to me? Well, this invitation that I'm speaking of this morning comes from the highest authority of all. It comes from Jesus, and we know that the heart of Jesus is in tune with mankind. But we also realize that all power comes from the Father. Look at verse number 25, if you will. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. And verse number 26, even so, Father, for it so seemed it good in thy sight. We also realize that this power and this authority comes from the Father in heaven. It is always good to thank the Father which is in heaven for what He has done for us and what He has given us through His Son. And His Son is the one who's offering this invitation. But just how much authority rests in Jesus, someone may. Well, look at Matthew chapter 28, if you will. Just flip over to Matthew chapter 28 around about verse number 18, if you will. In Matthew 28 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." I believe this tells us that Jesus' invitation is authorized by the Heavenly Father. It is authorized as presented, and no changes are needed. Sometimes when you get a document, you want to make changes on it because something just doesn't seem right. Well, this invitation needs no changes because it's authorized and it's sealed in heaven. It, all power in earth is given unto me in heaven and earth. I believe this ought to help us to understand a few things. Look at verse number 27, if you will. "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son." Watch this. "No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father except or save the Son, and to he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Look at what Jesus is trying to tell you. Don't nobody know my Father like I know my Father. Nobody has the authority that I have because my Father presented it to me. Isn't that right, church? Oh yeah, I know it's right. You don't have to say a thing about it. Jesus is right about issuing this invitation. Then he continues on. He says in verse number 28 again, "Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But then I want you to consider the fact that some of us, we need some rest sometimes. Sometimes we can't help but ask the Lord. I know I do. I ask the Lord every day to give me the strength I need to carry on. I ask the Lord each and every night, "Lord, you help me to make it through another day. Now help me, if you will, to make it through this night. And if I be worthy of it, Lord, call me back in the morning." How many times have you asked God in your nightly prayer to watch over and keep you while you are asleep? If you're not doing it, you ought to start doing it right tonight. Don't wait. As a matter of fact, thank Him because He woke you up this morning, because you didn't have to be up. You didn't have to be able to be here this morning. Somebody said, "Well, I got myself out of bed. I put on my clothes and I came to church," but you didn't do it by yourself. You need to thank God for where you are right now. Christ is authorized to offer peace and happiness to a laid-back, sin-filled world. He continues on in verse number 27 where he says, "No man knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son." This tells me something about the authorization of the invitation. It tells us that whatever invitation has been extended, it has already been settled in heaven. Isn't that right, church? This invitation that is offered does not come with conditions that are so hard that we can't meet it. All that Jesus asked of us, watch verse number 29, if you will. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul." I told you He was going to give rest to your weary soul. Isn't that what He said He was going to do? And His gift to us is grace in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. "By grace we are saved through faith. It is the gift of God." But then look at verse number 30. He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." His yoke won't harm us, nor will His yoke hurt us, but it'll help us. But we must be willing to learn of Him. We must become meek and humble and not consumed with the world, but be in subjection to the Master, not like men of the world. And I tell you a few things that men say. Men say, I want a big house overlooking the ocean. But God's people can say, we have a better place. We have a prepared place prepared by Jesus in His Father's house. Men may say, my doctor tells me I'm in such great health and in such great shape, I'll probably live to be 100. But the righteous of God have eternal life extended to them if they will but simply accept. Man says, I've got more money than I'll ever need. But Jesus said, lay not up treasures for yourself on this earth. Isn't that what He said, church? This invitation is able to be accepted by all. And I'm almost through. I'm going to come down in a minute now. This invitation can be accepted by all who will today. You don't need to wait any longer. Somebody said, well, I just think I'm just not ready. I'm just not ready to accept this invitation. Look how plain the words of the invitation are. Come unto me, all ye that are that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is lightened. I know that there are those who still won't understand that Jesus is calling us. He's telling us that there is a time to accept this invitation. You know, one day, and I tell you this all the time, one day we're all going to go home. And your home, the old saying goes, is where your heart is. So where is your heart this morning? Is it with the Master so that you can go to heaven? Or is it with Satan that you'll wind up in hell? And wherever you wind up in, the choosing will be yours. The choice will be yours because you're making it while you are yet living. And I always like to tell you, don't expect me to help you then. I'm not going to be able to. I'm going to be fighting for my own soul. I'm going to be fighting for my own destination. I plan on going home with Jesus, but I don't know if I'll get there, but I plan on going there. And if you plan on going somewhere, you usually work toward going to that place. If you say, I'm going over to Europe next year, you start planning this year to go over to Europe, but you know that one day you're going to die, and many of you have not started planning for that death. You know something? Death is not going to give you an escape clause. There is no escape clause in death. Death is sure. Death is sure, just like taxes. But only death is worse than paying taxes. Now, I know what many say, I don't like taxes, but you don't like death either. And when death comes and it's going to roll around, and then you're going to have to stand in judgment one day. You're going to have to stand before God, and you're going to have to answer for every idle word or deed. I'm going to be so busy over here answering for me, I'm going to look at you and say, I told you, and keep right on answering for myself. See, I'm telling you now to try to get it right. I got an opportunity to tell you now to try to get it right. But back when that time comes, I won't have an opportunity. I won't even be able to help my own family folk. I'm going to look at them and tell them the same thing I told you to. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying now is the time to get your house in order. You remember the story of Hezekiah, how that he was told to get his house in order. Because he was going to what? He was going to die. So I'm telling you this morning, it's time to get your house in order. That doesn't mean get all your bills in one stack. That's not all it means, I should say. Get all your bills in one stack. That doesn't mean get all your insurance papers in one stack. That means get your entire house in order, including your spiritual house, is what the Bible is talking about. How are you related to God? Do you have a relationship with Him, or do you just say that I heard of Him? So when He says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, He's extending an invitation to all of us. All of us that are heavy laden. All of us that have burdens. You know that there's an old song that talks about laying down my burden, lay my burdens down. And when you talk about laying your burdens down, you need to give them over to somebody. Because if I have enough burdens that I could physically lay them right here, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk to the back door and then I'm going to come right back and pick them up. If you give them to Jesus, you leave them with Him. So when the time comes, church, that you stand before Him, you should have an idea of what kind of ground you are standing on. Is your ground shaking? Is your heart right with God? Or are you standing in between two faults? The fault of not doing and the fault of doing. The fault of not doing the right thing and the fault of doing the wrong thing. So you ask yourself, is that heart right with God? Can I lay my burdens down? Can I give them to Him and just leave them? I know I'm already heavy laden with these burdens. I know that my heart is heavy from time to time. I know that I need some help. So Jesus extended that invitation because, don't you think He knew us? He knew what we were going to run into. And somebody said, well, He didn't know the world as it is today. He knew the world as it is next week, next year, next 10,000 years from now. He already knows the world. What's going on is not new, it's just different. So I ask the question this morning, are you willing to accept that invitation this morning? Are you willing to accept the invitation and go to Jesus? Well, preacher, I've been fine all this time. I just don't see no need right now. Well, I do. And if you can't see the need, then I can't pound it in your head. I can only tell you. And then there are the others who have already said, well, I know Him already. I have a part-time relationship. Well, Jesus is not a part-time love. He is an all-the-time love. And someone may say, well, preacher, I've done my best. I've walked the best that I can walk. But are you still doing the best? You don't use it in the past tense. I've walked. You say, I'm walking. I'm walking with Him right now. So if you're walking with Him right now and you need to know how to come to Jesus, you come by hearing, believing, repentance, confessing, and then being baptized. What a nice day to be dipped in the water if you haven't been dipped in there already. It's cooling, it's refreshing, and it's got the mixture of the Lord's blood, and you get washed in the blood. It's the blood in the water. But if you have been there already, and you stepped aside and you stepped out of the way of Christ, you need to come back home. How do I come back home? Well, you ask God to forgive you, then come forward, ask the church to pray for you. And nobody has a need to be ashamed to ask the church to pray for them. If you're ashamed to ask the church to pray for, that means you must be ashamed of Jesus Christ. And if you're ashamed of Him, if you deny Him before men, He will deny you before His Father in heaven. As we together stand and sing the song of invocation.